Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is out of town evangelizing on the East Coast. And today's show, my goodness, I love it. We're going to talk about the power of the rosary against the devil. Powerful. We're also going to have a special guest, a Dominican priest. Father James Brent has got a 7.5-minute presentation on redemptive suffering. It's the best I've ever heard. Okay, I mean, you're really going to want to hear that. We're going to also talk about a young teenage girl. She slams the school board for the proposed policy allowing boys to use the girls' restroom. I mean, this little girl just is telling the adults, wake up, the emperor has no clothes on. I thought, what a neat thing that this little girl is speaking up to do. And much, much more. We need to be praying also for our bishops. They're going to be having a meeting, as you know, coming up this week, and they need our prayers. But before we do any of the topics, I always like to say, Jesse, give us some soul food. Well, Jess isn't here today, so I'm going to give it to you. And it's from the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon of the Mount, which we've been reading all week long. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. Jesus said to his disciples, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes the sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only? What is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, this really sets us apart from all the other world religions. And what I mean by that is that we forgive our enemies. Nowhere else. Islam, Judaism, nope. And if you think about it, everybody, in the early time of the church, when it just got started, that's the reason people converted. Because for the first 300 years of the church, it was under persecution. But how did we evangelize people? We evangelized them by our love of God and the fact that we were willing to forgive. And people couldn't figure that out because that was not part of their vocabulary. You know? So there you have it. That's the power of the gospel. Now, one of the stories I'm going to share with you is about a parent just recently out in Australia. They had three of their children killed in a tragic accident. A drunk driver killed three of their kids. And the husband and wife said, if Jesus can forgive me, I can forgive that man for killing my three kids. Now, easy to say, hard to do. I'm always impressed with stories like that. There were a couple other stories that Bishop Sheen gave in the concentration camps where the young woman who survived the concentration camps, all of her family, her husband, her dad, her mom, brothers and sisters and relatives were all murdered in the concentration camps. And she was upstairs years later and the man came to the door looking for her. And her husband said, what for? Well, I want to apologize. What? Okay. And so he explained to the husband that I was responsible for killing her mom, her dad, her brother, her sister, the whole family. And I just want to say I'm sorry. Well, the woman came down from the stairs and her husband said, this is the man who did all these terrible things, killing your family. She hugged the man and said, as God forgives you, I forgive you. Now, that's the kind of Christianity that's going to convert the world. And there's so many other stories of like, you know, that. I have a little story of my own life where when I was 19 years old, there was a man who did something terrible to my brother. He stole lots of money from his business. And a year later, you know, my brother died of brain cancer at that time when the business was going down. He was sick. People just stole from him. Well, I was working down in Skid Row, which is like an area of downtown L.A. where the poor and the homeless live. And I ran into the man who stole $10,000 back in 1976 from my brother. And he looked at me and he was scared because he recognized me and I recognized him. And I forgave him on Skid Row in downtown L.A. in 1976. And I got to tell you, it was very rewarding for me to be able to forgive him. And he started weeping when I did that. And I said, well, God loves you, my friend. And I gave him the message of the gospel. That's how people are going to be converted, in my humble opinion. It's because of how we treat our brothers and sisters with love and forgiveness. Because people don't understand forgiveness. In the world today, we still don't understand that. And that's the comment I have for that gospel. But I would ask you to read the entire gospel of Matthew chapter 5 often, because it's a great summary of our faith. Now, I have something else I want to share with you that fits into where we're at today in our culture. And at this time, I'd like to bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Full Sheen ahead! Folks, I get these quotes from the quotable Sheen from the internet, and I try to tie these quotes into the theme of the show. And the situation in the church and in the world. Here's what Bishop Sheen says about hatred. He said, "The final form of hatred of religion is a wish to defy God and to maintain one's own evil in the face of his goodness and power." Now let's break that apart. Evil. Same-sex marriage, so-called, that's evil. Homosexuality, that's evil. Abortion, that's evil. What about trying to manipulate and try to make a Frankenstein's type of individual? That's evil. But what are we trying to do in all of those cases? Play God. And that's what man is doing. And I think Bishop Sheen nailed it when he said, "The final form of hatred of religion is a wish to defy God and to maintain one's own evil in the face of his goodness and power." Basically, I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, in salvation history, God always punishes his people when they deviate from his will. And I think this is right now our situation, and all the apparitions from Our Lady of Fatima and Lourdes, and they're all talking about conversion. And the world is really at odds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's our duty to have that universal call to holiness. And that's why later in the show, we're going to talk about the rosary, why it's so powerful in the spiritual life. We're also going to be talking when we come back from the break. This is something at the break time, call your friends. They need to hear this topic of redemptive suffering. Father does such a good job covering that. I've never heard anybody speak as good as this on the topic of redemptive suffering. And I also played it at the men's conference over the weekend. Just a quick note there, those who want to watch the men's conference, it's on our website, I believe. Go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Bishop Joseph Strickland gave a beautiful talk on St. Joseph and his life and how he works with us. So those are the things that we're talking about. What I would also mention is this Dominican priest, Father James Brent, he has his own YouTube channel. So I encourage you to go to his channel and watch anything he does. He's a believing Dominican who uses Thomistic philosophy to teach the faith in a very simple way. So when we come back, we will get that. Also, I want to thank all the folks who have been donating over the weekend. You know, people came to the men's conference and they were very generous, and I thank all of you for that. We also have another conference in August, August 7th, with Dr. Sandoval and also some other women that are going to be speaking about our Blessed Virgin Mary. And then mark your calendars, September 18th, we're going to have a women's conference. Yes, a women's conference. And Father Charles Murr, who's been with me, Father David Wuninski, who'll be here, and my wife, we'll be there for the women's conference on the 18th. Just mark your calendar, because this is why it's important to meet other people of like faith. I noticed that the men at the men's conference, man, made some new friends. I saw people exchanging phone numbers. Can you imagine what the women will do on the 18th of September? They're going to meet like-minded women. And this is important to build each other in the faith up. And I'll talk about building you up in the faith. We're all called to holiness. We know that. That's the clarion call of the Second Vatican Council. But I'm going to share something when we come back about redemptive suffering. It's going to be like an atomic power plant and unleashed on the world. It's the key. It's the key to converting the world to Christ. It's called a price tag. Every soul has a price on it. Are we willing to pay for it? And when we come back, we will cover redemptive suffering in a way that you've never before heard. But I would recommend at the break time, open your Bibles to 1 Colossians chapter 1. It says, I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. So without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. When we come back, Father James Brent, OP, which is the Order of Preachers, those are Dominican fathers, is going to knock you off your horse. This is powerful. I mean, you don't want to miss this 7-minute presentation on redemptive suffering, especially at the time of your death. You're going to say, thanks, Terry, for playing that. It rocked my boat. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I wanted to really rock your boat. And I always say I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. This is why I'm Catholic and understanding my faith. This is why I believe we can win among all the confusion in the church and in the world, because we understand our spirituality and suffering can bring back great victory. So Father James Brent will give us a 7-minute talk on redemptive suffering. Put your seatbelts on because it's powerful.
Catholics often use the expression, offer it up. And I don't think they often know what that means or the depth of it or the significance of it. It's very, very significant. Because God has ordained that the manner in which the world is to be transformed is through sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of Christ is at the center of all human history and is the source of the transformation and renewal of the world. So we are called to participate in the act of sacrifice that Christ himself carries out on the cross. And all the baptized are able to do so because all the baptized, by virtue of their baptism, participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. They have what we call the royal priesthood. And to say that all the faithful belong to the royal priesthood is to say that they all, by their own activity, can enter in to the very sacrifice of Christ and offer that sacrifice, not in the manner of a ministerial priest who offers it on the altar, but by the very sufferings of their daily life. But there's a relationship between the sufferings of their daily life and offering those sufferings and what the priest does at the Mass on the altar. So when I'm doing hospital ministry and I will go to a person's room to maybe give them the anointing of the sick or bring them Holy Communion or hear their confession or something like that. Oftentimes, I'll meet people who have been suffering for a long time. And sometimes people can be in the hospital for weeks or maybe even months, and they can be in the hospital off and on for years, depending upon what's going on in their lives. And when a person is profoundly suffering, the one thing they're really conscious of is their body and the afflictions that they have in their body. And there's a certain message that's good news that I try to get across, which is that this is not time spent in vain in the hospital. And I'll say, okay, you've been to Mass many times. So you know how at Mass, the priest takes bread and wine and has them on the altar. And then the priest takes the bread in his hands and he says, this is my body, which will be given up for you. And then he takes the host, which has now been transformed into the body of Christ, and he lifts it up at the elevation. He offers it to the Father. And they say, yes, I know what you're talking about. I say, okay. This very bed that you're laying in, this hospital bed, is an altar. And you are a baptized Catholic. That means you are a member of the mystical body of Christ. That means that in a very real way, in a supernatural, mystical, but real way, your body is the body of Christ. And every minute of every hour that you are lying here in this bed, Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest, he's within you, and he takes you and your body in his hands. And he says, this is my body, which will be given up. And he lifts you and your life up and offers you and your life and your sufferings and everything, he offers it to the Father. And when I explain this to people in the hospital, just by saying that much, I've seen devout Catholics go into ecstasy. God takes over. It's like he does this very thing as it's being spoken. But I go further and I say, you know, at each Mass, the priest has an intention. He can offer the Mass for anything. He can offer it for a person who's in purgatory. He can offer it up for the conversion of someone who's far away from Christ and the Church, someone who's locked in patterns of sin. He can offer it up for whatever intention the people of God give to him. He then takes the merits, the fruits of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, and he can apply it to that particular person, that particular intention. And we know from long experience in the history of the Church that when Masses are offered for people, the effects are tremendous. It has tremendous effects on people's lives. So similarly, when the person is, say, lying in the hospital bed, I say, you can take this suffering, which you now agree in your heart and you're saying in your prayer, this is my body, which will be given up for you. You're joining Christ in that act in which he's offering you up, like the host on the altar. And you can offer this up for a particular intention, whatever intention is on your heart. And when you think about all of the suffering and evil that's going on in the world, there's a lot to offer it up for. Basically, what's happening is Christ himself is taking you and offering your sufferings and your sorrows up to the Father, which you accept through that prayer, this is my body, which will be given up for you. And in answer to that prayer, the Father pours out the Holy Spirit upon the people you offered up for. And it has effects. It has effects. In fact, as Catholics, we believe that this is the primary way by which the world is transformed. The world is transformed and is changed through sacrifice. In fact, that's the only way the world, in the end, will be truly, deeply transformed. Is sacrifice. It's the law of sacrifice. It's what Christ taught us on the cross. And you, as a baptized member of the faithful, are called to enter into this actively and to join Christ heart to heart in this great act of offering sacrifice for the life of the world. The world is changed by this means. The lives of the saints and the sacrifices they offer are filled with story after story after story of people's lives who've been changed through this sacrificial activity that the saints carry out. So I'm firmly convinced that all the faithful in the Church at this time need to have their awareness be fully activated, that they can offer their whole lives, all the sufferings that they have, and who doesn't have suffering in their life? Everybody's got it. Everyone can and should offer their sufferings like Christ on the cross and with him on the altar to the Father in this way by realizing that he's in you and he's offering you like a host on the altar to the Father and offering it for big intentions, and great things will come to the world. That's the only way that will come.
Wow. That was powerful. I've only seen it 8 times now. Why do I say it's powerful? Because it's the Catholic faith. He made it simple. He made it simple. The primary way to change the world is sacrifice. Offer. Remember, Our Lady said that at Fatima. She said souls are going to hell because no one's there to make pray and make sacrifices for their conversion. And I love the way he explained the royal priesthood of our lay people. Doesn't that want to make you want to go to Mass more often? You know, the saints have told us at our deathbed, on our exit interview, those Masses that were heard worthily will be your greatest consolation. This is my 50th year. I'm 64 years old. 50 years ago, I started going to daily Mass. Thank you, Jesus. I say it public on public radio that I want to thank Jesus for those opportunities to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion. I pray that I will be a faithful steward and offer my sufferings for the good of the church. I'll never forget Father Wolfgang from the Opus Angelorum said that it's a sad thing that there's so much wasted pain in the hospital. He was quoting Archbishop Sheen. And I mean, oh yeah, people that go in the hospital, they're suffering, and they just look at the TV and the I Love Lucy show, try to distract themselves or do whatever, listen to some music, when God is giving them an opportunity for their last stage of life to get to know him through pain. Pain is God's megaphone, as Fulton Sheen would say. But in our culture, what do they want to do? Sedate you. Sedate you so that you don't have to, just put them out of their misery. See, the point we're making is hospitals could become spiritual atomic power plants in the world if they were properly understood in the sense of offering their suffering. But there's so much wasted pain. I hope you take this clip and show it to your children, to your children's children. This will never go out of date. You know why? Because it's the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. This particular clip, really, I would encourage you to share at home, anywhere, because Father James Brent nailed it when he showed how powerful the Mass is and how when we're sick and none of us gets out alive, last time I looked, we'll probably all be on a hospital bed. And I hope this video will come to your memory and go, oh yeah, on the Terry and Jesse show, I watched this video telling me that I'm like my bed can be an altar and I'm going to offer my suffering in union with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Oh my gosh. If you don't get excited about that, nothing will excite you. And again, the world is distracting us from this great beauty. Why? Because the world says pain, no, I don't want any discomfort. I want to have pleasure, pleasure and pleasure. Well, I got to tell you, at the end of your life, and it's an exit interview time, that pleasure is going to do you no good. It'll do you harm. What will do you well is that you've been serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his church, and that your family, your daily duties have been done well, and that you've tried to live in the presence of God. Because guess what? The exit interview is going to give you a review of the entire life. That's why doing the four last things that Jess does all over the country, teaching people to think about death, a holy death, is a good thing. And I think in our culture, we're scaredy cats because we think of the COVID vaccine. Oh, that's going to save me. No, it's not. 99.9% of the people now are not going to die if they get the vaccine, okay? And we have people running around, oh, I'm scared, this is going to get me. You know what I would say? Let's think about the people in the hospital right now who are dying. Let's pray for them right now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to open up the lines. We're going to talk about the power of the rosary. I'm going to give you a little presentation. If you want to join us, call us at 888-526-2151. Tell me how the rosary has affected you and your spirituality. Don't turn that dial. We're going to come right back on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I bet you still have your seatbelt on from after listening to Father James Brent talk about redemptive suffering. We have our co-host here, Dr. Sandoval, on the line. And Dr. Sandoval, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Did you enjoy the weekend's conference for the men over the weekend?
I got to tell you, okay, a couple things. Sure. One, first of all, that was an incredible weekend conference. Man, those guys were fired up.
Yeah.
And I think that they were so proud to feel like Catholic men that I would say anybody who hasn't heard those talks from Jesse,
yeah,
anybody who hasn't done that, get on, you know, get on the talks, listen to them, because those were really, really inspiring.
Yeah, they can get those, Dr. Sandoval, by going to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. And I just want to make a plug also. You're going to be back here on the 7th of, August to give a presentation with several other people. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It's going to be another fired up conference that we're going to have. This one's called Sex and Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is that we're going to take back the respect that the sacrament of marriage and the intimate conjugal relations deserve, the way God taught us.
Awesome.
And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to have your very own wonderful wife,
Mary Danielle,
is going to give us a talk on the theology of the body.
Right.
We're going to have one of the producers from Roe versus Wade talking to us about how Hollywood is trying to influence our minds on what's pure and what's right. And I'm going to give a few talks on how to think about it and how do we teach our children, our future generations, the way that God wants us to think about being intimate and sharing our sexuality and that gift in marriage.
That is awesome. I'm excited. People can actually still, they can register by going to vmpr.org or call it right in at 877-526-2151. Dr. Sandoval, you're a psychiatrist, you're a therapist. You have a show on Thursdays here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I played a clip in the first segment on redemptive suffering, and I also played it for the men over the weekend. What was your take on that?
You know, Terry, that's why I called in. I was listening to that, and I thought that is so spot on. I think you're right. That's one of the best explanations as a physician, what I can tell you. That's one of the best explanations I've ever heard on redemptive suffering and really what it means. I think we live in a society where we think we're always supposed to feel good. We think we're always supposed to, you know, we're never supposed to have a bad day. And we forget sometimes that, you know, we're human beings. Mm-hmm. Our bodies aren't perfect. We are going to suffer. That's guaranteed. But the question is, who do we want to suffer for, you know?
Yeah.
In an interesting way, you know, it's like our politicians sometimes ask us to suffer for them or for the rules they set up. But that's not what we're made for. You know, our sufferings need to be guided towards Christ. And if we are finding ourselves, as a doctor would always tell my patients, you know, offer it up. Some patients understand. But, you know, we do find ourselves in pain, or we do find ourselves that we're not in the best place possible, remembering that by us offering that, we can affect each other and we can make each other's lives better through Christ, through the communion of saints. That's the most powerful thing that we can do with our suffering, and make it, turn it into a sacrifice and not just suffering.
Well, you know, that's a powerful message to give to people who are hurting. I would think that it could, like the priest said, it revolutionize the individual's viewpoint. And I think of the Opus Angelorum, the work of the Holy Angels, spirituality. And they use that comment in their formation letter that it's like a spiritual atomic power plant to release the graces into the world for conversion. And I just tie it right back into Our Lady of Fatima when she said, souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. And I think of Fulton Sheen saying, every action is like a blank check. And in this time of confusion in the world and in the church, individuals can say, wait a minute, I'm going to be part of the solution by living a holy life. I can't control what's going on X, Y, and Z, but I can control my relationship with Jesus by giving my life to him. Am I onto something, Dr. Sandoval?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely, Terry. And, you know, it's wonderful that you mentioned Our Lady of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that coming up, you were going to talk about the rosary.
That's right.
And how the rosary can change lives. And we sometimes we forget that. You know, we think prayer is hard, like Jesse was saying over the weekend. Prayer is one of the hardest things you can do. You got to be a strong person, whether you're a man or a woman,
right,
because it is a sacrifice. We can turn our prayers into that sacrifice, because sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm not of the hospital bed. I don't have anything to sacrifice. Get on your knees. Pray the rosary. Look at what Our Lady said. And I know that you're going to have some stories about how people's lives change praying the rosary.
Exactly.
We have to believe that. We have to believe that we're not just sacrificing for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sacrificing because our Lord will reward that. And what a better way to get a reward than a spiritual reward over a material one.
Wow. Dr. Sandoval, how about one story of your own regarding the rosary in your own life? I know that I started praying the rosary when I was a teenager, and, you know, it was really a powerful experience. But can you tell us intimately, basically, how you started to pray the rosary? What got you praying the daily rosary?
Gosh, you know, I was very, very blessed to have a mom who was, you know, both my parents, but my mom was very devout of the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
So every night, whether we were grumbling about it or upset about it, you know, we'd get up and our mom would tell us, you know, before bed, hey, everybody get the rosary.
Oh, I love
it. You could hear the kids, you know, groaning, oh, no. But every night she made us pray the rosary. And I got to tell you, you know, we grew up very poor. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a whole lot. And I can think of times where the rosaries what got us through, whether it be difficult times or not, because it's what really, you know, they say the family that prays together stays together.
Yes.
It's what kept us together as a family through tough times. And, you know, when we talk about things, I miss those days. I miss those days of sitting together as a family with my brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
You know, and praying the rosary. But I do that now with my kids. And let me tell you a story.
Tell us.
It wasn't it's not exactly directly tied to the rosary, per se, but it is a devotion to Our Lady. And I think that devotion to Our Lady, having the rosary brings it to us. But I got to tell you know, if people don't believe in the power of prayer,
mm-hmm.
the one thing I would say is look at the 15 promises associated with the rosary. Those are powerful. If you haven't read those, people got to read those 15 promises. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I want you to look them up because,
sure.
like, you know, teachers say when you look it up, it means a whole lot more. But let me tell you the story one time. I remember being at work one day and feeling really, I was working at a different clinic from where I am now, but I was feeling really, really dark and heavy. And I didn't understand that why. At that time. And so I didn't know what was going on. And sometimes you wonder, is this a demonic attack? Is this something? Because if you're always trying to preach Christ, you know that there's going to be something lurking in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to tell you, I wasn't feeling good, and it was around lunchtime, the noon hour. So I prayed the Angelus, and I prayed Exilium Christianorum, Our Lady, Help of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That devotion to Our Lady in my heart started with the rosary. So the rosary is hands down every night. But as soon as I prayed those prayers, it was kind of like, you know how you're in a really hot room,
sure.
and then or it's hot outside, it's really hot, and you walk into an air-conditioned room,
oh, yeah.
and right away you feel the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You can tell. There's no question that something changed. The temperature changed. The environment changed. I got to tell you, as soon as I said the last sentence from the prayers of the Exilium Christianorum, after praying the Angelus and the Exilium Christianorum, I literally felt, and that's the best way I can describe it, but I felt the room lifted, like the air
awesome.
Lifted.
Awesome.
Like there was a darkness and all of a sudden it was light. And nobody else would understand that because I cannot explain that scientifically other than to say, imagine you're carrying a really heavy backpack
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden somebody just takes it off your shoulders. It was literally that kind of feeling on my soul.
Wow.
Where it was feeling heavy and trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I said the last words, it was like somebody let the air out of the balloon. Somebody took the weight off. I was like, wow, there is no doubt. There was no doubt in my mind that that prayer was efficacious. It did something. And the rest of the day, I felt great. It was like night and day. You know, I don't know if it was a noontime devil. I don't know what was going on there. But I got to tell you, the prayer made a difference. It changed something. I felt it. And that's what happens with the rosary, with our devotions to Our Lady. We can't forget, you know, that the prayer changes things. It makes a difference.
It does. Dr. Sandoval, tell our listeners, for those who haven't heard your show, tell us what you do on your show and how people, well, first I'll tell you how people can listen to them. Go to the vmpr.org website, download the app, and then Dr. Sandoval, tell us about your Thursday show right after the Terry and Jesse show. Tell us what you do.
So my show, I like to bring in cases of patients who have been, you know, afflicted by mental illness, physical health, or anything along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we take a look at it from not only the physical side, the mental side, but the spiritual side as well. You know, what does that mean for us in terms of our devotions as Catholics, our faith as Catholics, how we can use different elements of our Catholic faith, be it the catechism, you know, we understand our commandments, our sacraments, and how that actually changes our lives. You know, when we go to the doctor, we go because we're feeling sick and we want to get better, we want healing, And sometimes we overlook the healing that comes from being Catholics. And the healing is not just spiritual. I mean, I gave you the example of me feeling kind of heavy and then all of a sudden feeling that change. But there's many cases where if you start looking at the different miracles, people have healing physically. Christ is still working, just like he did in the Bible, where people will be healed from cancers, from tumors. So I want to bring in some more of those stories.
Right.
And I definitely want people to start thinking Catholic, to be Catholic, to live Catholic.
Awesome.
You know, that's where my show is going to be headed. I'm going to bring in little segments on, one, our faith, and then how that's going to be applied to our health. And we're also going to keep up with devotions. Right now I'm doing a holy hour. I tell people to do a holy hour challenge for faith, hope, and love, and bring peace in their lives.
Awesome.
I'm going to start bringing up different devotions, novenas, but I want to make them with specific goals. You know, you take a medication and you want to heal something specific.
Right.
I want to remind our listeners that our prayers, our devotions, those are all medications, and we want to see specific changes.
Wow. Sign me up. Hey, folks, you can listen to this show this Thursday right after the Terry and Jesse show, the Dr. Sandoval show, here on Virgin Most Powerful. Again, it's simple. Go to the website, vmpr.org, download the free app on your phone. You can hear it anytime. There's lots of podcasts from previous shows. I think once you listen to a show, you're going to be hooked because, you know, I call it like the doctor is in. He's in to talk to you not only about your situation as a psychiatrist, but the spiritual aspects of it and how to wiggle through all that. In other words, how to figure out what God is saying to you. And I think a lot of people will benefit from that show. So I would encourage you every Thursday here on Virgin Most Powerful. Dr. Sandoval, I want to thank you again for calling in and giving your little witness story. And I look forward to your August 7th conference. Go to vmpr.org. to look at the flyer, mark the date, register for it. It's going to be a sex and honor. And like I say, my wife is going to give, she does a very good job explaining the theology of John Paul II, of the theology of the body. So I would encourage all moms and dads and families to register for that conference. Dr. Sandoval, your final thoughts.
Oh, Terry, I just want to say to everybody, you know, like I was saying, we got to think Catholic, we got to live Catholic, we got to be Catholic.
Well
and
said.
If we can do that, we're going to make it to heaven.
Amen. Life is short. Eternity is forever. When we come back,
that's right.
We'll talk about the rosary, the power of the rosary. And don't turn that dial because we're here to inspire you to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you having fun? And what I mean by fun, are you enjoying listening to Virgin Most Powerful? Because we want you to be, we call it entertained. We want you to be inspired, informed, persuaded, and connected. We want to connect with you on your Catholic faith because we want to help you fall deep in love with Jesus. And if you have a story of your own about how the rosary affected you positively in your life, call us at 888-526-2151. This is the last segment, and I'm going to talk about the power of the rosary. Dr. Sandoval mentioned the 16 promises. That's in my article. I'm going to nail a couple of those promises that, you should be able to watch and listen to. So let's talk about before I talk about the rosary, you can call me at 888-526-2151. Tell me how the rosary affected you positively in your spirituality. So why is the rosary so powerful against the devil? Here it comes. You know, the devil seems to be so powerful these days with riots in streets, racial strife, you know, a rampant abortion, pornography, decreased attendance in church, with so many people being more in love with money, things, rather than with Jesus. The antidote to all this hell is the rosary. By saying the rosary daily, along with the accompanying meditation of the 20 mysteries contained in the Bible, you'll be doing more for world peace than any other president, any political power. I truly believe that. So, why is it so important that we pray the rosary? Well, the reason why Mary is that invoking Mary as an intercessory, it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, referring to the fall of Adam and Eve. And in the Edward Dewey Reams version I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and thy and her seed, and she shall crush the head, and thou shalt lie in wait on her heel. So we know the rosary is a biblical prayer. It's taken right out of the Bible. We also know that when you say your Hail Marys, you're meditating on that mystery, whether it's the crucifixion or the Annunciation, whatever you're meditating on. It's like background music. And I think I shared this story many times on the radio about a woman who, she was dying, and somebody prayed the rosary for her. Prayed one Hail Mary. And that affected her so positively that when she got better in the hospital, she came back to thank the person who prayed for her. It's a little mystical jewel. That's what happens with the rosary. Now, if you want to call me, you can. I mean, we don't take a lot of calls usually, but on this topic of the rosary, call me at 888-526-2151. Remember, in addition to all that we had from the rosary, there are some benefits to meditate on the scriptures through the rosary. We call it the scriptural rosary. You can go to erosary.com, and here's some benefits of praying the rosary just from the fact of psychologically. It improves the rate of breathing. It improves respiratory function. Are you ready for this? Here's a way to fight COVID-19. It boosts your immune system, protects you against sickness. People who pray the rosary have a higher resistance to sickness. Increases energy levels, fights chronic fatigue. And you say, Terry, you got energy. Hey, pray the rosary. You'll get my energy. Helps lower the blood pressure. Yep. All these things. So much more, but I'm going to go in a little bit more, but I want to take our first caller. Armando, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother. What's on your mind?
Hello, Terry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Armando.
Oh, great, great.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi, Terry. Hi. You know, give you just a small example, you know.
Sure.
But it's really important. I have a brother who is schizophrenic.
Okay.
And he's had that, you know, since he was a teen.
Mm-hmm.
And, he had a really tough life.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God, you know, medication and stuff that kind of stabilizes.
Sure.
And he's been very well behaved for, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I say he's the best behaved one of all of us seven siblings.
I love it.
He just my mother prays the rosary, you know, every day.
Awesome.
Every day she's praying the rosary around 6 or 7 p.m. You know, we call her and the phone rings and rings because we know she and my dad are praying the rosary. Well, you know, my brother, he smoked like a train for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he gave it up just like that.
Wow.
You know, they did tell him, hey, you know, you know, this is going to affect your health if you continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he just, I credit my mom's prayers, and I ask the Lord when I say my prayers for her. I know she's more diligent about praying that rosary, and she has long suffered.
Yes.
Suffered for many years, not just with that brother, but with me as well. I wasn't an angel growing up, and all of us kind of got our turn up the bat to act out and stuff. But thank God that she's always prayed that rosary. And
awesome.
To me, you know, the rosary, when I pray it, meditating on the mysteries connects me and in Christ and his life so much so that I kind of get these little, they're private. You know?
Yes,
I'm
get it.
It's revelation even, but private, you know, light that, you know, I share them with some people sometimes, but, you know, it's not, you know, I don't make a big deal about it or
sure.
anything. I just thank him.
Well,
because it helps
me. Armando, let me jump in because there's three more people before we close up that I want to get in. I just want to say thank you for your witness on the rosary, the power of the rosary, your brother, your mom, and your dad. You know, the way the family that prays together stays together. So I want to thank you for your witness for the faith, too, because I know you well, and you're a man of God. And I just want to say thanks for calling in with your witness for your love for Our Lady and our blessed Lord. Thank you.
Thanks for all you do, Terry.
God bless you.
God be with you.
All right, we've got another call. Let's take the next person, Rich. What do we have? All right, well, we're going to hold off. I want to remind everybody these promises that Dr. Sandoval talked about of the rosary. I'll just name him. He said, yeah, go look them up. You can look them up, but here's just a couple of them. Whoever shall have true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. That's a huge benefit. How about this? Those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and at the end, at their death, the light of God, the plenitude of his graces, and at the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. Sign me up! I mean, wow! Here's another one. I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary, Our Lady. Man, folks, get your beads out or you're not on the team. Here's another one. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. I'm telling you, get that rosary out. It's a very important tool to finding out about Jesus. And remember, Mary asked us to say the rosary for world peace at Lourdes and Fatima. So what are we waiting for? It's going to make the secret, you know, it's going to make you really a holy person by meditating on the rosary. Remember, it's a scriptural rosary. We're reading, we're meditating on the word of God, and this is important. Now, I just want to give a teaser. Tomorrow, I am going to give you an amazing story of three heroic priests aboard the Titanic. Yes, the Titanic that sunk. And how these priests were saving souls right up to the end. And I think of these saints, they're going to be saints, these three priests, they were heroic. The people that did survive the Titanic describe what they did. Wait till you hear it. It is inspiring. And I think of those three priests, and I think of the COVID-19, and I say, wow, what happened? We're hiding in the rectory or closing our churches when we have a pandemic? Doesn't make sense to me, but again, life is short, eternity is forever. They're going to tell us. And then tomorrow, are you ready for this? This is going to blow you away. A mother of 10 children, 28 grandchildren, she left. Well, her husband died when she was 61. She joined a Carmelite cloistered nunnery, okay? And she just passed away at age 92, and her son tells the story of her 92-year-old mother who died at a Carmelite monastery in Illinois. It's an incredible story. But why do I want you to be inspired? I can talk about some bad things that are going on, but you know what? People are standing up for the truth, like this little girl who's standing up at telling the school board, stop letting the boys into the girls' bathroom. Can you imagine that we have to say that now? Or Hungary, the country of Hungary, moves to prohibit the promotion of homosexuality and transgenderism in children. Their parliament is voting to ban the content of a sexually explicit material. They're doing all these good things because they're a Christian nation. And I believe that this is what needs to be done in our country. We got to go back to our roots of our faith. And that's what's going to convert the world through our redemptive suffering. And again, don't forget that segment we played on the second segment with Father James Brent, OP, Order of Preachers, the Dominican, on the power of you offering up your sufferings for the good and the salvation of souls. Remember, every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. So teach your children, teach everyone to offer everything in union with Jesus to help redeem the world. And I want to have that attitude of gratitude that says, we give thee thanks, almighty, all merciful, and all loving God, for all the blessings that we have received from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. And we pray for the dead, and may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. When we live in the presence of God, I don't care what's going on in the world. I do just pray for them, but it doesn't affect me in my spiritual life. You know why? I'm focused on Jesus Christ. Yes, the politics, I got to vote right, obviously. But the most important thing is to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and to live in the presence of God. One other recommendation? Ask Jesus Christ for more faith every day. You're off the team if you don't do that. Yep, that's how your faith grows. And you husbands and wives, renew your marriage vows often. This is the month of June of the Sacred Heart. go take your wife for a walk and tell her you love her. Tell her that you're renewing your vows as an expression of my love and devotion to you. And then the wife does the same thing, and I'll tell you, that stokes marriages. That's good advice. You know where I got it from? Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. If Jesse was here, I'd say, hey, Jess, what state should we be living in? You know what he'd say? Terry, the state of grace. And he's right. Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland. Wow, he's going to talk about the Bishop's Conference and about the Holy Eucharist. A man of all season. His name is Bishop Joseph Strickland. You won't want to miss it here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thanks again for joining me here on the Terry and Jesse Show. I sure had a good time. I hope you did too. And more importantly, I hope you fell deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride. Full sheen ahead. God bless you.